Now the whole earth had one language and one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Then they said one to another, "Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city, and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth." But the Lord came down to see. Said, "Indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language, and this is what they begin to do. Now nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. Come, let us go down there and confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore its name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the earth, and from there the Lord scattered from abroad over the face of all the earth. Now, this is a story that we all know very well, and probably those of us who went to Sunday school, we had the story of the Tower of Babel, and no doubt did drawings and that like I did, and attempts of what we think the Tower of Babel look like, and so on. So it's a well-known story, but is it really a story that is understood? Do we understand its implications? Do we understand what the Holy Spirit is saying even today with regard to what happened there at Babel? And this is why I'm calling this Man's Babel Towers. And the emphasis, or the symbol to this, is revealing man's human pride. Not only man's pride, but his ambitions as well. And because of this pride and ambition, it was destined to fall before it was finished. And it always will. And yet, man never learns this lesson. And our history books and the Bible itself are filled
with man's ambitions and prides, trying to build his empire, his heaven on earth, and we find every time it destroys itself. What destroys it? The very thing that God came down to destroy. Confusion. It is always confusion that will destroy man's Babel Tower. And it will be confusion that will destroy the earth, the world as we see it, as it stands today, Western democracy. It will be ultimately confusion that will destroy it, that will finally usher in the true kingdom of God, the theocracy that is to be on the earth. So we see these parallels from the Tower of Babel to man's Babel towers that he builds. We see these parallels. And as I said, our history books reveal this. The tower was built by the Canaanite civilization and was basically, in nature, an actual watchtower, because they were tribal, they fought, and so in nature, the tower was in many ways to be a watchtower. And it was going to be the greatest and biggest tower. It was going to be a tower also that would frighten predators, frighten those that would come to try and destroy. It was to reveal and flex their muscles. And of course, that is what governments and empires try to do. They try and build their empire. They try to build it with power, with their military force. It's flexing the muscle to show, don't come any near, don't try and enter, because you will be destroyed otherwise. What are they? They're Babel towers. And eventually, they are brought down, because they give a wrong message. They give a message of fear and control. And of course, that is what the power of darkness, Satan himself, always comes to do. He came deceiving Adam and Eve because he wanted to take control. And that is the whole nature. And that is why God had to scatter it. He had to bring confusion amongst it. And so, of course, when we look at history, and most of history is filled with wars, and you look at these wars, it is always someone or some tribe or some nation wanted to take over another nation, flexing its muscles. And what eventually happens? God eventually will fight for the poor, the lowly, the meek, those that are being taken over by the strong powers of darkness. There you will see finally God comes on the scene, and what does he do? He scatters it. He confuses it. That is what always destroys it. Do you want to know what destroys power, control? Confuse it. It's the greatest weapon. And what do? In our spiritual warfare, because we're not up against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities, in our spiritual warfare, as we wield our warfare in the mighty name of Jesus towards these strongholds, these powers, whatever, what are we doing? We are confusing the powers of darkness. Confusion means they scatter. They have to relinquish their hold. There have been several times that God has opened my eyes in the spirit when we have been in spiritual warfare and we're coming against demonic powers. I have seen a scattering, a running away in fear, confusion, because that is what warfare does. That is what the principle, what God does when we war against the powers of darkness. I'm reminded of Goliath coming against the armies of Israel. And every time the Philistines came on the scene, what did the children of Israel do because of being fear? They ran away. They scattered. What made them do that? Confusion. Fear. So you have to reverse the role, don't you? And that's what God is trying to do. That's what he's trying to do with the Church of Jesus Christ. He's trying to reverse the role so that we put the enemy to flight. Through the mighty name of Jesus and the whole armour of God that he has given to us. But it's taking a time to learn that one. And the only way we will learn that one, and the only way we will start to be those victors that we should be in Christ Jesus, is as our Babel towers are brought down. Are there Babel towers in the house of God? Sadly, there are. It's called pride. But God will bring them down. And so this tower that was built was like a fortified city to protect themselves. But what were they wanting to protect themselves from? They were protecting themselves from Almighty God, in order that they could start to worship their false gods, their idols. And that is why God had to deal with it like he did and cause it to scatter, bringing about confusion. Because the nature of that Babel Tower was that they would become idolatrous. It's interesting that this was built, as we know, after the flood. And of course, as we know through Noah and the souls that were saved, they were to go forth after they came onto dry land. The Lord said, like he said to Adam and Eve, go forth and multiply and be fruitful. And so, looking at this now, I want to open this up. He says here back in verse 1, now the whole earth had one language and one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar and dwelt there. Then they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had brick for stone and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. They were trying to build heaven on earth. So they were building a city, and like most cities, a city has got to have a tower. It's got to have a skyscraper. It's got to have something that really makes a mark up in the heavens as you look up. And you see, the heavens is where God dwells. That is for his glory. We dwell on the earth. And so the heavens today, through these great cities now, as we look today, are being built. And you go up to London and you'll see two very, very large skyscrapers. Huge they are. One that's being built now is going to be the largest in Europe, going up. And I was up there last week, and as you look out, the landscape has completely changed. It's not like London I used to know. You know, you probably see the Dome of St. Paul's or whatever it is. That's no longer the central point or attraction at all now. That is gone. London is taking a completely different look architecturally. Now, of course, I know that that's of the world. But that is giving us description what man tries to do. And where does he try to do it? He tries to do it above. So that it reveals what man can do. So you're looking up to the heavens. And there you are. You see these huge, great skyscrapers. saying, if you go, I've never been, but I'm told to go to New York or Dubai or all these places where billions, trillions of pounds are being poured in to build these great cities. What does it actually tell us? What is it revealing to us? It's revealing the epitome of man's pride. It is telling you that this is built by wealth, money. The love of money, as the Bible says, which is the root of all evil. And that will be the final tower, the Babel, that God will bring down. And we read it in the book of Revelation. And I'm going to show you the various different towers of Babel that have been throughout generations. Types of what we read here in chapter 11. Now he says in verse 4, as we've read, he said, come, let us build ourselves a city, a tower, and make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. Babel is a type of the same, if you like, to Adam and Eve when they sinned and fell and brought the whole world into sin, confusion. And so Babel again is a type. Here man is rising up and he's rebelling and sinning against God. No longer this time, where of course it was in the spirit, Adam and Eve fell, and they fell into flesh, into the fleshly life, the intellect, the self. So we now see in the flesh, man now, this is a type of rebellion against God and falling yet further and further away from Almighty God. We're seeing the results of what sin is beginning to do, taking hold. This is the devil right here in action, deceiving this ancient civilization. And so with sin entering in the world, so we see this rebellion is entering now into the world. And what took place? Confusion of tongues on the earth. You see, the sin of Babel took place in the land of Shinar, as we know, Mesopotamia, which we know as Babylon. And from Babylon came forth all this idolatry and ancient worship, rebellion. All the ancient gods and idols, their roots are to be found, they come from Babylon. The rebellion, it is the false counterfeit city of God. It is a deception, it is a lie. And so God allowed confusion of tongues, of language. The tower was also to preserve a type of human achievements. It was like preserving what man can do without God. It was an outright rebellion. And God wasn't about let that about to become one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. No way. And you see, pride is basically this rebellion against God. You see, human speech is part of union with God. And God placed Adam and Eve, and they spoke the same language. They had communion with God. When God spoke, they understood him. They didn't have to be interpreted. It didn't have to be like the speaking out in the gifts of tongues in the church and it's interpreted so that we understand it. It wasn't like that. It was a union of speech that God placed. And this was to be taught and passed on through generations. Noah, his family, spoke the same language. It was one language, one communication. This is why they could hear from God. They could understand God. It was one language. And the devil knew exactly what he was trying to do here. And so God said, I cannot let that go on. And I will confuse it. And rebellion, pride, confuse that simple language, that faith that we had with God. Man brought it on himself. And this is why I believe the devil attacked in this area with man's tower. This one language, this believing. What was he actually hindering? What was he trying to attack? Faith. Because faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing what God says. That simple faith. And that confusion of languages has brought about a confusion on the world. And this is why, you know, you have many languages now. Bible has to be translated in many languages. That is why God baptizes us in the Spirit, to restore us back to a pure language in the Spirit of speaking to God. Isn't it wonderful? God wasn't about to let that language that communed with God in rebellion here, to spread around the world, that man could use that and defile it. The word of God is most holy. And that is why the revelation is hid unless God opens your ears and eyes to understand it. People today, even now what I'm saying, will not understand this unless God speaks. It's very easy to get our theological doctrine in the way. But I believe basically that is what it is. And so these languages, God could not let that continue in man's rebellion. And so the result of scattering, moving around, created through the environment, these different cultures and different languages, of which we have today. We don't really know actually how many they are. They try and sort of say, oh well, you know, there's 2,000 languages or whatever it will be. There's probably a lot more. If you look right through history, we don't know. Speech language is evolving all the time. Even English is changing. And of course it offends very much those with the Oxford English and speak like they do, and I'm not saying that's wrong, but you know, you hear sometimes people speaking out on the radio and just saying, what is wrong with the young generation? They cannot speak properly. Why? Because it's evolving, it's changing. Why does speech change? Because of pride. Man still trying to build his Babel towers. And pride will always keep man spiritually ignorant of God. Bound up in his own human wisdom and rebellion. This is what it does, you see. And so I believe the devil knew what he was doing here. And so he hindered faith. Getting man to build a tower, he knew that that was rebellion against God. He knew enough insight that he had that God wasn't going to have that. And he had accomplished in his devilish ways what he wanted. But God's always one step ahead. God's always one step, and he's going to work through, and he has. And he's worked through all through this confusion, languages, and so on. Confusion in believing the word of God. The reason there are so many doctrinal differences is because there's confusion of understanding in languages. Confusion in interpreting the word of God. That's why they say, well, that's your interpretation. But as I always say, there's only one interpretation now under New Covenant, and that is the Holy Spirit's ministry and teaching. And that silences them. Because there is. And he's come to restore us back from all that confusion. You see, isn't it wonderful? And he's the baptizer. And so we got these wonderful languages. And if you're not sure about a thing, just start speaking in tongues. You're speaking a pure, perfect language before God. That's not defiled. There's no confusion with that. And yet there is confusion, isn't there, about speaking in tongues? God, dear, we've heard it all. They confuse between the sign and the gift. These signs will follow. They will speak in new tongues. That's the sign of the baptism. But that isn't the gift of speaking in tongues which God sets in the church. That, yes, has to be interpreted if it's given out. Otherwise it doesn't edify, build up. And then it's interpreted in the language that we understand. That is the gift of tongues in operation. And it doesn't stop there. There's also another gift. Diverse tongues. They don't quite know how to handle that one, because they don't often hear that gift in operation. So we've got a confusion in just understanding or interpreting it, haven't we? And where does that all come from, stem from? Right back. Babel. It's right there. And so because faith is under the attack, believing God, it was a first breakup of the human family of God. And that's why God came down to inspect it. Because God then said, let's confuse it. They've got to scatter. It's a breakup. It was a breakup of understanding, breakup of speech, breakup of hearing God. And God says, okay, your rebellion, I have to cast you out. Because that is what pride does. God has to push man away. He cannot have pride in his presence. And so the scattering was a result of God having to push man away. And he scattered. He scattered as a result because God had to push him away. And that's what God does. He says he resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. There's the principle in operation, you see. So they went out with all their pride, and as a result of wanting to build their towers, so they went out in an idolatrous state and manner. Just going out building other towers and idols and cities all over the world. Because they'd already seen what they had done. So they thought themselves, like man does, well, we can't build it here, we'll go somewhere else and build it. Which they did. Which they did. In their rebellion. Isn't it wonderful how the Bible just unfolds to us? It's all there. In its embryonic form, in its basic form. And then from that you can build up and you can see the society and the world that we have today. Right back there, those thousands of years ago. Wonderful. And so man always tries to build a permanent physical structures. Why does he do that? Because he doesn't like change. Babel was a sign that we don't want change. We want to stay here and this is going to be our place. But you see, how does that affect us today? God says you are going to change because you are passing through as pilgrims. Don't put your roots down anywhere. It is wrong to put roots down. And yet in the nature of fallen man, he doesn't like change. And our world, our news, everything we hear today is always sort of a kick out, a fight against change. Moving on. It's because of the fall of man. That's why. And so with these physical structures that we have through life, we've had the dynasty of the pharaohs. And what did the pharaohs build? Their pyramids. Their pyramids to go to heaven. And so those pyramids were like a type of where the pharaohs, their soul could have a direct, they could go straight through into eternity, into glory. because they believed that pharaohs were divine, eternal. And they were, in that time and day, they were God on earth, with a small g. And they decreed whatever they spoke happened. Whatever they decreed over your life, whether you live or you die, that was it. That came to pass. They had, as the world offers, complete power and control. So there you see those Babel towers. How about the Greeks with their towers of wisdom and knowledge? The Hellenistic period. There's a Babel tower of pride coming up. The Assyrians, the Romans. What was their power? In military, in might. There again, you have these Babel towers and these cities, of fortified cities that they built to reveal their military power. It was all to try and intimidate, to control. How about coming into the 20th century? What do we have in the 20th century of man's Babel towers? The atomic weapon. His might. The atomic age that we live in. I don't have complete facts for this, but I believe now we've moved into the 21st century. What is the basic Tower of Babel that we are seeing today? I believe it is money. It is the banks. And it's that that's going to fall. That is the power. And that is why we're seeing the corruption now being unfolded, coming out. But it won't fall yet. It's still powerful. But you know what I think is happening? This is the mercy and grace of God. This is prayers, intercessions. Because actually there's, as we know, a big expose now going on in the British banks. It's not just going on in Britain, by the way. This corruption is global. But it's interesting what is happening here. Because it is sending messages, as I've heard from financiers, it's sort of sending repercussions around the world, what's actually happening in Britain. Many, many commercial businesses, bankers, a lot of eyes are on London and what is actually going on at the moment. And I think God is judging this. This is actually mercy over Britain, I believe. It's all going to eventually fall. But that's something I sense, and I think I hear God speaking and saying, it's a result of prayers, intercessions. So there we are, we see these types of Babel towers that have been in existence, and I'm sure you can add many more to that, that we see in our history books over the centuries. Well, what are the signs of the results of these towers? What is the signs of confusion that we see today? Because these towers that are built by man always result in the end in confusion. And it's judged. Well, do we have today in the house of God, and I quote sort of those who profess themselves Christian, who believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, would you agree with me that there is probably more confusion in this last 30 years in the house of God than there ever has been? Or are we all one and in all unity, in all agreement, or all in the glory boat going to heaven? What would you? You're all saying confusion. Now, I wonder why you're saying that. Huh? I wonder. Do you know why there is that confusion? Because you have the Babel Tower of Catholicism, who still flexes her muscle. She is a harlot. And we know that all denominational roads, in one way or form, go back to Rome. So there you have, in the religious sphere, you have a type of Babel Tower. But what has it produced? Confusion, harlotry, compromise. We have today liberal theology, compromise on the Word of God, all creating confusion. What is that? Man's spiritual Babel Tower. But what motivates all of that? It's pride. We have this idea today of laity and clergy. And so you have got the laity and you've got the clergy. And the clergy are the spiritual beings in the church, the intelligentsia, and they advise you. They give you directions. They tell you what God's saying. What does it create? Confusion. But what is behind that? What is behind man that robes up like an Old Testament priest that's been done away with? That's pride. Confusion. Elevating himself above someone else. And God will bring it down. It's rebellion. So, you know, man today respects all these men that robe themselves up and look priestly and godly. But God sees that as rebellion. Because that is what it is in nature. And you see, man cannot build on the message of faith. Because it won't let you build your tower. And that is why they don't have faith. Because they try to take the revelation of God's word and they try to build on it. And that's why you have got ministries today that are rebellious, that bring confusion, because man tries to build his life, his empire, his future using the word of God. A type of Babel. And so you've got these ministries today. You've got them that come on the God channel, deceiving the people. What are you seeing there? Rebellion, pride. He is trying to use God's word to build his Babel Tower. And he can't. And he doesn't speak the same language, because Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice and they follow me." They're speaking a different language. And what is that language? Confusion. Is it not? And so God said, we scatter them. Because they're not going to build their towers on the word of God. And that language that they were all one speaking before. He won't have it. Why? Because he magnifies his word above his name. His word is most holy. So there's the first sign of confusion today. And that is why, praise God, we are brought into God's pastures, into his fold, and there, you know, we can sit and be taught and fed the word of God and not be troubled or in fear or in confusion. Is it or isn't it of God? What do you think of that message today? Do you think it was of the Lord or not? That's what goes on so much in charismatics today. People are going around asking, what do you think of that today? Huh? Wasn't sure about that. That was a bit dodgy, wasn't it? You know, and so forth. Confusion. Confusion. Secondly, what are the signs of confusion today? Man's pride will be brought low because it tries to be like God. And that is why God allowed them to scatter, because he would not have them deceiving the nations that this is God, what you see, by the way. God wasn't in that tower that was built, and he wanted the world to see he wasn't in that by destroying it. So how does God get over that today. He redeems the people and he puts his light in them and draws them out from Babylon, from the Babel system. He draws them out, he separates us so that we are those true lights in the world that expose those false towers of Babel that man has tried to build. And that is why man's pride will be brought low, because God will not be in it. You see, that is why Satan has to come finally as the Antichrist. Because God isn't going to enter into it. God isn't going to be part of the harlot system. So he has to come as an angel of light, letting the world know, and sadly the Jews as well, falling for it, that he is the true Messiah. But he is not. Because God isn't in it. And so because God isn't in it, he tries to be like God. But will fail. What will bring down Antichrist? God confusing it, through judging it. Thirdly, what are the signs of confusion today? Pride will hold on and fight against change. We see it here, verse 4. Come, let us build ourselves a city, a tower, whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. They were going against what God had made through the covenant with Noah, that they were to go forth and multiply. They were rebellious against that. They knew it. But they didn't want to. They didn't want change. They didn't want to move on. And so we will build a city here, and we will get God's blessing on this. They probably thought that God was going to bless this, but they were in for a bit of a surprise. How often have we moved into things thinking God's going to bless it, only to find that he actually has to bring it down, destroy it? We deceive ourselves. That's what pride does. Pride believes that God is going to bless this. And we're offended when we find he doesn't. But what has he done? He had to bring down that Babel tower that you have built, that doesn't glorify him. You see, pride will always make a name for itself. That's the nature of pride. That is why you've got so many ministries today, or all sort of, so much of them are named after the minister or the person who's in control. The emphasis is really, if you look at the literature and you look at it all, it'll all actually go back to that one person. You know? That's how it does. It's the nature of it. I remember years back, and it was the grace and mercy of God when I followed a ministry like that. You know, and you pledged £100, and your Bible came through with a gilt edge on it, of gold, whatever it was. But you know, when you looked at it or whatever, the name of the minister or ministry was stamped in it somewhere. You know, that's what pride does. What pride does. And so God confused it. We see in verse 8, so the Lord scattered them abroad from over the face of the earth, and they ceased building the city. They couldn't build it anymore. And God made sure they wouldn't, because he was going to scatter them. He wasn't going to let them finish what they had started. And that's what God does. That is God intervening. And history shows us, man never finishes what he tries to start. The last despot that we can, most of us, remember in history is Hitler. God didn't let that man finish what he intended to start. And we know what he intended to do was to get rid of every Jew on the face of the earth. God confused that. And that is why we have the Holy Spirit now, who is our teacher, bringing us into true unity and fellowship based on what? Pride? No. Humility. Love. Serving our brother and sister. Completely the opposite to these Babel towers. You see? And so that is why God is restoring and bringing us back into the true building that he is building. That is upon the rock of Jesus Christ. See, the Tower of Babel did not signify that being the rock of Jesus Christ. It was not. It was a different rock. Fifthly, finally, what are the signs of confusion today with these Babel towers? Well, when God judges pride, it can no longer control. As we've just read there, verse 8, they scattered. They lost their control. They couldn't control it any longer. It had got out of control. That's fundamentally what it happens. You know, every despot in history actually destroys themselves. Do you know that? They destroy themselves because what they have created, made, has actually got out of control. And it destroys them. Same with the devil. The devil is going to destroy himself. Because he is trying to build this world as he wants it, and it never will be. And as a result of what he's doing, he will destroy himself. Hallelujah. And so they scattered. Ceased to build. It's interesting that the word Babel, you know, there are a lot of interpretations, you know, when you look in books and various things, you know, some words, what they actually really mean and so forth. But I sense that looking at this actual understanding of the word Babel, I sense from the Lord that one had pretty well nearly got it right. Because it basically means the gate of the gods. It was a place to worship Satan. And idols are always behind pride. And so because of that, God confused it. And the confusion, this is where we get the idea, the word Babel. To babble. They use it with tongues, don't they? Say, what's all that babbling going on? You know, they're confused. And so I think that that's pretty well the understanding. I think that was pretty well what the devil was really up to. It was like a gateway, an opening for the gods. Because you see, in witchcraft, in demonic, we know there always has to be a point of contact to open a door. Babel, I believe, was a point of contact on the earth to open the door to satanic powers to oppress. That's as I see it, and I believe that's what the Lord shows me to be. It's fundamental root, and that's the idea of the word Babel. So there we are, brothers and sisters, man's Babel Tower. And we can now, as I bring this to its conclusion, this is why God makes such a point, such an issue, to this body. I can't speak of others, but only to us, why he has and is deals with pride like he does. And we're beginning to understand more, aren't we, why God has to deal with it in the way that he does. Because pride, God, it will repel you from him. It pushes you away. It cannot have you near. And so if you're not near God, how can you change? How can you really hear him? How can you really have a full fellowship and understanding? Pride, in many ways, makes us our own worst enemy, which we've often heard. And so the devil knows what he's doing. Why does the devil do it? Because it's his chief number one problem. Pride. He fell from the presence of God because of pride. He allowed pride to enter in. And what did it do? It immediately expelled him from the very divine presence of God. That's what it does in its nature, you see? And so this pride here through Babel, God scattered it. Because if they had repented, if they had repented of what they had done, and they were capable of doing it because they're still made in the image of God, they have a conscience, but we see nothing of that. We see what sin has done, how far man has fallen now. No signs of repentance go as a result of it. Scattered. They were scattered. And to stop this tower from being built, so that man could turn around and say, this is God, look what God has done, when man actually had done it in his own achievements. And that's exactly what goes on in denominations today. It's the same spirit in operation. Look what we have done. Look what we have built. Our huge cathedrals. Our great places of worship. And you know, when you, if any of you have been round the Vatican, you will see there a considerable amount of wealth. Everywhere there's absolute opulence. It's dripping with wealth. It's powerful. But we're shown, aren't we, that the harlot will be judged. That tower cannot remain. It's false. It's giving a false impression of Almighty God. It's built on pride, rebellion. So there we are, man's Babel Towers. Praise God, it is a blessing and a privilege to bow the knee before the Lord. And I'll tell you why. The more you do it, the more you want it. Because it's what it brings. Such deliverance, such peace. It enables you to let go of those stupid things that we hold on to. It's blessing comes from it. It gets the devil off your back. It draws you into fellowship, into the closeness of Almighty God. Don't hold on to your spiritual Babel. It's not worth it. Because if you hold on to it, God will eventually destroy it. And the sad thing is that you will be destroyed with it as well. Because that's what God has to do. When God, you see, it's, if I can put this in easy understanding, you know, we hear today of military combat taking place, particularly in Syria. And sadly, when bombs are dropped, civilians can get in the way. But the target is to destroy the enemy or the city or whatever it is. Well, let's take that over to the spiritual. God, when he destroys, when he judges, you see it in the Bible. I mean, Sodom and Gomorrah is a classic example. Many in the city probably were not defiled all the same, but because God had to judge it, because it was defiled, the rest that were in there had to go with it. That's what the nature of judgment does. That's what bombs do. And that's why God says, get out of it. That's why he said to them, come out. It's going to be destroyed. Many could have come out. It was only those that heard. And he's, the message is today, come out from among them and be separate. Why? Because it's going to be judged and you will be destroyed with it otherwise. Because of the weapons, those spiritual weapons that God uses, which are going to be horrendous, that are going to come upon the earth. Those supernatural weapons. They're there. They destroy. That's the wrath of God. So God's saying, get out from it. Because what is he destroying? those Babel towers that man has built. We don't need God, we are God. Look what we have built. It's in man. In man's rebellious nature, he wants to be like God. That's what the fall has done. You will have no other God except me. So there we are. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you again for speaking today into our lives. Lord, it's probably been a hard message, one that's not always easy to understand. But Lord, we believe we have the Holy Spirit, who is the giver of truth and comes to give us the truth. Because when we know the truth, then the truth sets us free. And very often we need to be set free, because at the root of it is pride. Lord, please help us. Help us to turn away from any of those things that we still hold on to, that we somehow feel secure by, or it feeds the flesh. Lord, only you can work in us both to will and do for your good pleasure. And Lord, as we take up our crosses daily and follow you, so you are dealing with that self-life. There's nothing greater than we can offer up and surrender, and that is the self-life. And you know that, Lord. And we have willingly done that and do that. And so we believe, we rest, we are assured by faith that you will work it in us and through us, so that we can be without spot or wrinkle or blemish in this last day. It can only be a work of the Spirit. It can only be a miracle in our lives. But then that's what you are, Lord, because that's what we believe. It's what we depend on. It's what we look to. It's what our heart's desire want at the end of the day. And whatever we're going through, whatever we feel, whatever the devil's suggesting, whatever we've even done through the week, it's not what we settle to. We settle to something greater than that. And Father, so often that's all you require of us, is actually to settle a thing. And to settle something, Lord, is often when it looks so awful. It looks so bad. Looks hopeless. And to settle it, well, that seems to be the last thing. When we're trying desperately to get free, or maybe going to prayer and fasting. And Lord, that has its place. But so often, Lord, you're just saying, settle it and move on. And it's the moving on that brings the deliverance, the change. Sin, rebellion, pride always wants to keep us in its defilement. It doesn't want us to move on. Just like that ancient civilization, they didn't want to move on. But Lord, you keep us moving on, and you have a reason for it. Because our moving on, passing through as sojourners in this life, means that we will not be caught up, we will not be held back or become defiled with the world. But we're marching on, moving on into glory. And Lord, we thank you for that. And so Lord, I pray you'll be with us, bless, preserve and keep all of us until we assemble again, Father, in Jesus' name. Rushes onward, ever growing.
Jesus I'll find security, and Jesus is the one, brighter by far than any sun, who overcame the enemy, who fought and won the victory. Cradled in